Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. Happy holidays, everyone. I hope everyone is feeling grateful this year, even with everything going on in the world. Today's show is going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be full of light and inspiration, and I'm going to share some holiday stories. I'm also going to be doing a reading from my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams, which is inspirational and uplifting. My voice is a little scratchy today. I noticed the last couple days, something must be irritating my allergies because I've had to take my inhaler more than normal. So I'm a little scratchy and it's just me today, of course, right? But that's okay. For those of you hearing me for the first time, I would love it if you would join me on my social media platforms. So if you're on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook, I'm on there. Pop on by and say hello. I also have a public Facebook group called Postcards of Love where you can join and post inspirational posts and stories, art, poetry, anything uplifting and happy and fun. And we need that to end off to 2020. And, you know, fingers crossed, 2020 will be a much better year for all of us. And I always say that we can never share too much positivity. In the group, the Postcards of Love group, my friend Elizabeth shared such a sweet story yesterday about a little girl and her fairy garden and her fairy. And that's one of the stories I'm going to share shortly. But first, next week, I have Pamela Vandervoort, a dating and relationship expert. Pamela created Dating for True Love to help women date to meet their true love and create a happy, healthy, fulfilling, and powerful relationship. In this high-tech world that has inundated singles with so many choices, it can be hard to find a clear pathway to love. Pamela's proven system has helped hundreds of women find lasting love. And next week, we're going to talk about manifesting the kind of love, romantic love in this case, you want in 2021. So it's going to be a fun and exciting show. So come on by next week and think about, you know, if you want romance coming in 2021, it'll be a good show to listen to because she can help guide you on that. This week, I created my Magic Monday message, and it has the affirmation, I believe in the spirit of Christmas. It's a beautiful postcard, if I do say so myself. I think the image I created came out amazing. I wish I could show you here, but if you are interested in seeing it, you can find it on my Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, and of course, my website. So to me, and I think in general, December is a special month. I love this time of year. I always have. Starting in October through New Year's has always been my favorite. And December is full of holidays. So I just want to share a little bit about the holidays we get to experience in December. So there's Hanukkah. And for those of you who know this, you know, you're going to know it again. And for those of you who don't, welcome to what Hanukkah is about. So for 8 days each November or December, Jews light a special candle holder called a menorah, and they do it to remember an ancient miracle in which 1 day's worth of oil burned for 8 days in the temple. And they honor that every year during Hanukkah. We have Three Kings Day. At the end of the 12 days of Christmas comes a day called the Epiphany, or Three Kings Day. And this holiday is celebrated as the day of three wise men first saw baby Jesus and brought him gifts. On this day in Spain, many children get their Christmas presents. In Puerto Rico, before children go to sleep on January 5th, they leave a box with hay under their bed so the kings will leave good presents. In France, a delicious king cake is baked bakers will hide a coin, a jewel, or little toy inside. I love reading and learning about the festivities that happen around the world. We have winter solstice, which just occurred this year, December 21st. Did you see the Christmas star or the Star of Bethlehem? This year, with the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, not seen for 800 years, I saw it, not great, but I did see it, and it's pretty special and amazing, especially for 2020, that this hasn't happened in 800 years. Winter solstice is the shortest day of the year. People all over the world participate in festivals and celebrations, and long ago, people celebrated by lighting bonfires and candles to coax back the sun, which is really cool because it's the shortest day of the year. So now every day we add a little bit of light until we get to the summer solstice. There's also St. Lucia Day to honor this third century saint on December 13th. Many girls in Sweden dress up as Lucia brides in long white gowns with red sashes and a wreath of burning candles on their heads. They wake up their families by singing songs and bringing them coffee and twisted saffron buns called Lucia cats. There's St. Nicholas Day, which is a popular December holiday in many European countries. St. Nicholas Day celebrates St. Nicholas of Myra, hope I'm saying that right, the man whose life inspired the tradition of Santa Claus and Father Christmas. He gave all of his money to the needy and was known for his compassion for children and all those in need. The holiday honors the man on the anniversary of his death, December 6th, 343 AD. Many celebrate with parades, feasts, gift-giving, and festivals. Through the centuries, St. Nicholas has continued to be venerated by Catholics, Christians, and honored by Protestants. By his example of generosity to those in need, especially children, St. Nicholas continues to be a model for the compassionate life. Of course, there's Christmas. The Christmas season, especially in the West, is a mix of pre-Christian, Christian, and secular traditions. The etymology of the word Christmas literally means Christian Mass. It is a shortened form of Christ's Mass. Christmas is a time of spiritual reflection on the important foundations of the Christian faith. It is also a celebration. Definitely, it's a celebration. I hope we get to celebrate somewhat this year. It's when Christians celebrate God's love for the world through the birth of the Christ child, Jesus. And the Bible tells of his birth hundreds of years before fulfilling the prophecy. People celebrate this Christian holiday, by going to church, giving gifts, and sharing the day with their families. In some parts of Europe, star singers go caroling, singing special Christmas songs, as they walk behind a huge star on a pole. That is where caroling came from. In Ireland, the Christmas festivities tend to be more religious in nature. Christmas celebrations last from Christmas Eve until January 6, the Epiphany, and December 26 is known as St. Stephen's Day, an Irish tradition. Now, this one's going to be interesting to try to say these. Okay, so the Christmas Eve festivities in the Ukraine are known as, I'm going to try to say this, Sviata Vakera, which means Holy Supper. And the celebration begins when the first evening star is sighted in the night sky. In farming communities, the household head brings in a sheaf of wheat, which symbolizes the wheat crops of Ukraine. It's called Didka, I think that's what it's called. Somebody can tell me and correct me if they want, which translates to grandfather's spirit in homes within the city. A few stalks of wheat may be used to decorate the table. And then, of course, we have Kwanzaa. Kwanzaa, which means first fruits, is based on ancient African harvest festivals and celebrates ideals such as family life and unity. During this spiritual holiday, celebrated from December 26th to January 1st, millions of African Americans dress in special clothes, decorate their homes with fruits and vegetables and light a candle holder called Kinara. So I thought that was pretty cool when I was like looking up. There was so many more. I mean, it breaks down in the days and it just keeps going different saint days, but the whole show would be about that. So I just wanted to share a few. And on December 21st, the Jupiter-Saturn conjunction is a key point on the transition into the age of Aquarius. And it's destined to bring many Age of Aquarius themes into our lives. It has happened in the air signs, Gemini, Libra, and Aquarius. Under this conjunction, we are seeing a shift into more community-based living. Rather than looking to big governments or big businesses for support, we are instead going to turn to smaller community-run organizations and small businesses, which will be really nice. There will be greater focus on this idea that we all thrive when the collective thrives, rather than focusing on an individual or individuals trying to compete with one another and get ahead. The conjunction happening in the earth signs, which was Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo, these past 200 years, had pushed our focus toward ambition, big government, and big business. It has made us focus on material wealth and possessions, creating and building tangible things for the future. The December 21st conjunction, now switching to the air signs, will give us focus towards collective and community-based approaches. Humanitarian efforts will be important, and technology will be favored. On an even deeper level, this meaning of the planets could allow us to see what we are truly, allow us to see that we are truly all connected, and what is good for one is good for the whole. What happens inside will be reflected on what is happening outside in even bigger ways. Our minds are opening to higher levels of consciousness and understand that there is no separation between us. So I wanted to share a little bit about that too, because I felt like it was really important seeing the Christmas star and the 800 years and the conjunction. So as I was reading about it, I was learning more about what it means, and I wanted to share it with you guys. And as I was also preparing for today's show, I wanted to look on the internet for some true stories that inspire the season of Christmas and giving and gratitude, and I found a few really sweet ones, so I'm going to share them with you today. Just give me 1 second. I need to take a sip of water. I'm so scratchy. Oh my goodness. Hold on 1 second. Okay, that's better. All right, so this first story is called A Season for Mercy, by Teresa Ambord Anderson. So these are going to be Teresa's words. Polly, my stepmom, suggested the sweetest name, Mercy. We soon learned it was just what this new boxer pup would need. My parents' rambunctious dog would bolt out of bed and go, go, go all day long. So when they brought home a Christmas tree, they expected chaos. To their astonishment, Mercy didn't seem to care. She paid zero attention to the tree suddenly growing in her living room, nor did she react to the fancy presents under it, including a wrapped box of milk bones. Dad and Polly were weary. They had never had a dog that didn't force them to move everything to higher ground as they were expecting a flood. But Mercy seemed oblivious. A few days before Christmas, Polly awoke early as usual. She passed the dimly lit living room and then stopped cold. Glancing back into the room, she saw that every last present was gone, only the tree was still there. Had they been robbed? Why hadn't Mercy barked? Where was she? Had the burglars taken her? Her thoughts frantic, Polly noticed a scrap of ribbon on the floor, then a bit of torn wrapping paper a few feet away, some glitter beyond that. The clues all made a trail leading toward the back door. Polly flipped the switch, bathing the backyard in light. The perpetrator's head lifted and froze. Alarm and guilt made her eyes wide. Oh yes, it was Mercy. And for all of us that have dogs, we know exactly that look, right? She lay under her favorite tree in a fluffy nest of shredded wrapping paper, chewed up boxes, and curling bits of ribbon. presents piled from their packages were strewn among tattered bows, beautifully wrapped boxes, and gaping holes, fragments of tissue paper mixed with the last remaining evidence of gifts. Clearly, Mercy's self-control had failed. She silently carried one package after another out the doggy door so she could pillage in private. Anything edible was gone, including cookies, chocolates, candy canes, and 4 pounds of milk bones. Nature took pity on Mercy, and she survived her midnight snack. My parents were so grateful, they laughed off the ruined presents. Only one problem remained. With all the gift tags destroyed, how could they send out thank you cards? Mercy presented the problem, so Mercy provided the answer. A few days later, Polly returned her easy chair to find Mercy guiltily licking a plate where a donut had just been. Polly snapped a picture of the shame-faced pooch and used it to make thank you notes. The caption read, "Thank you for ?" Inside, the whole story was explained. We all had to laugh, and everyone shared the sweet reminder that amid all the gift-giving, it really is a season for mercy. And I thought, oh, isn't that such a sweet story? Because, you know, most of us would be really pissed off. But it was just her name. She lived up to her name. And for those of you who have animals, you know this time of year you have to keep, oh my God, presents away from them, especially if it's presents for them. They can smell them. And if you have cats, oh my God, they love to play with the ornaments and jump in the tree. Okay, I have more stories for you guys, and I'm excited to share, and they're so sweet. So let's take our break here, our first one, and then we'll be back in 2 minutes, and I'll share more holiday stories. Stay tuned.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
These are the sounds of a dinner that almost didn't happen. A dinner now served, thanks to people like you. Due to COVID-19, 17 million more Americans may face hunger. Feeding America is helping our neighbors in need. And if you're able, you can too. Donations are being accepted at feedingamerica.org/coronavirus. Brought to you by the Ad Council and Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
Welcome back. So if you're listening to the first part of the show, I'm sharing right now some joyful stories about giving and love and compassion and inspiration, because of course it's Christmas time, right? Tomorrow's Christmas Eve, and Friday is Christmas, and I'm super excited because apparently it's going to be super cold here in South Florida during Christmas, and that hasn't happened in a really long time. I think it's going to be like in the 50s and 40s at night, which is cold for us. So I am so excited that I have a cold Christmas this year. I'm sure many of you who are already freezing are probably like, oh yeah, please. You're already over the cold, but we don't get that joy down here. All right, so the next story that I want to share, it's called The Anonymous Secret Santa Who Fills Strangers' Pockets with $100 Bills. I saw this story in the news. I've seen it a few years now, so I don't know what he did this year, of course, 2020. I'm sure something, but this guy's been doing this for years, so this is the story. It's like finding a dollar in a coat you haven't touched since last winter, but better. An anonymous wealthy businessman from Kansas City has been lifting the holiday spirit of strangers for the past 12 years by handing out extra cash to those who look as though they could use a little boost. With the help of a dozen local police officers, he hits up a few cities and hands out everywhere between $100,000 and $200,000 each holiday season, all in the form of $100 bills. Mystery Santa said he looks for people who have sadness on their faces so that he can give them hope that their life can be changed. Our mission as humans is to do random acts of kindness. Kindness is the bridge between all people, the anonymous businessman told CBS News. We still don't know who he is or where he'll show up this year, but keep your eyes peeled for a surprise visit from the real Secret Santa. Yeah, it's a sweet story. I've seen it on the news, and I've seen, of course, they don't show his face, and I love that he likes to stay anonymous, and I've seen people, you know, shopping, and he'll walk up to them and just hand them $100, and the emotion on their faces, it's like what $100 can mean for their Christmas. It's really special. Okay, so the Christmas tree angel from Michigan. When Michigan resident Chad Rose just happened to have an extra Christmas tree that was used on his business parade float, he did what any decent person would do. He posted on Craigslist to give it away for free. For some, a tree is an annual necessity and an integral part of the holidays, but for many, it's an expense that needs to be saved for daily essentials. After posting the ad, his inbox was immediately flooded with touching stories of why various families deserve to have the tree. With each email he read, it became clear how significant a simple tree can be in contributing to the holiday aura. One email, which he shared with on mllive.com, read, quote, "Having a real Christmas tree would be such a great blessing this year. Because usually," this made me sad, "we draw a Christmas tree on a large poster and hang it in the corner." I'm not crying during the show. I'm not doing it. I was crying when I was reading the stories, but I'm not doing it here. Okay. Realizing that $25 towards a tree was too much for some families to spare, Chad went out and bought 40 more to give away for free. He spent most of the next day going over his list of emails, checking it twice, and not paying much attention to who's been naughty or nice, just deserving. But the good holiday spirit in the story doesn't stop there. Anne Passant of East Grand Rapids read Rose's ad and contacted him, not to get, but to give. She offered to donate ornaments and other trimmings for the 40 trees he had picked up. Going out to gather up more trees after realizing the impact it would have on those in need is just so generous, she said. It tells a lot about his character and makes you want to help. I thought that was such a sweet story. I don't know where you can get a $25 tree anymore. Maybe the small ones. Because the last time we've gone, you can't find trees for $25. But whatever. I just thought it was just so sweet, you know, to go buy 40 trees for people just so that they could have a Christmas tree. And when that story that one person had to draw a Christmas tree in their corner, just tore at my heart, you know. So I love these stories. Well, that's why I created the Postcards of Love group, to share stories like this. Okay, so the next story I came across is called The Homeless Man with Terminal Cancer Who Gave Everything He Had. A homeless man in Colorado used what little he had to give a selfless gift during a toy drive at a local Walmart. Glenn McCarthy walked to Walmart to get a cup of coffee and was instantly touched by the toy drive that was going on. He ended up buying a Barbie and a Hot Wheels set, but he couldn't stop thinking about a shiny new kid's bike he saw. And I looked at the bike, and the bike was marked $59, but the tag underneath, it said $44, he said. It's not a lot of money for some, but for Glenn, it was nearly everything. Later that night, he still couldn't stop thinking about the bike and how happy it would make a kid in his shoes. Come Christmas morning, he walked back to Walmart and asked about the bike, since the tag listed two different prices. Once a clerk realized what he was doing, she told him that he could have the bike for $44. I got to thinking, this is probably going to be my last Christmas, he said. I'm no one, so might as well make some little kid happy. It took my losing everything to realize that I am happier now in my life than when I had big money. I just thought, wow, that's just so loving and giving to you're suffering, you have no money, you're homeless, and you have terminal cancer, and you're thinking about giving to somebody else. Okay, so this next story really, like, got me. I mean, it's not any sweeter than the stories before or anything, but probably because I had a blue-eyed husky, so I love them. They're like my favorite dogs. I had one, her name was Indy, and I had her for 13 years. So like they have a special place in my heart. So of course I was like, all right, let me read the story and share it if I felt like it was appropriate, and it is. So let me try to get through this one and not tear up. Okay. So it's called Hope is a Blue-Eyed Husky by Andrea Buchanan. It was the time of year when people worked hard to spread cheer, and Jason and I were doing our best. I hung the last ornament on the Christmas tree as he looked for the menorah to put in our window. Nonetheless, we were facing another holiday without a baby in our lives. Then came the knock on the door that would save the season. A neighbor stood on our front steps with a lost dog, a beautiful white and black Siberian husky drenched by rain. He sat on command, gave us his paw, and then plopped down in our foyer from exhaustion and slept for hours. It wasn't the first time Jason and I had agreed to take in a stray, but that particular Christmas, after multiple failed attempts to conceive through IVF, and having just learned that an adoption of a little boy had fallen through, it felt like a Christmas miracle, curling up with this blue-eyed husky that would help fill the void. We decided to foster him and call him Wiley. 2 days later, we took Wiley on a hike, and out of nowhere, in the kind of scene that only unfolds this way in the movies, or as it happened, in our favorite canyon in LA, a girl ran up to us and fell to her knees, exclaiming, "Blue, is that you?" Wiley licked her face. I couldn't believe it. What were the chances that we would run into his owner? I welled up with the tears at the thought of saying goodbye. She told us more of his story. It turned out, before he ran away and made his way to our front door, the girl had been looking for a new home for him. She loved the dog, but didn't have the wherewithal to take care of him. I asked her what she wanted to do. "I want you to keep him," she said, "as long as you have a fenced-in yard and you name him Blue." This past summer, 2 years and some months later, some months after Wiley Blue's arrival, I gave birth to a baby girl named Ruby. Wiley Blue licked her toes and ran through the yard, leaping over bushes with excitement. He had helped usher Ruby into our lives, keeping our hearts open and our house full of cheer long after the carol singing was over and the decorations were put away, while we waited with hope for our baby to arrive. I just thought, oh my God, just like when, because my dog looked just like that. She was black and white with blue eyes. So yeah, I could just picture when I was reading that story. Okay. So my next story, if you guys can hear, I'm really trying not to tear up. I don't know why, but I really am today. Okay, so the next story isn't a Christmas story, but it's filled with so much love and joy and inspiration that I had to share, especially since it's happened this past year during COVID-19, which all of us collectively have been experiencing together, like it or not. And this is the fairy story that my friend shared in the group Postcards of Love that I mentioned earlier. Okay, so this is a really sweet story. This heartwarming story about a woman who became a fairy named Sapphire has gone viral. It's gone viral. You can find the whole story with the pictures on Twitter. Her name is Kelly Victoria, and her Twitter profile name is, I love her name, Says the Fox. That's her Twitter handle. So cute. So these are Kelly's, aka Sapphire's, words. At the beginning of the pandemic, I went through some painful personal stuff and would often go out at night for long walks because no one was around and I couldn't sleep anyway. One night I was walking down my street and I noticed that someone had set up a few little objects in a tree planter, and upon closer inspection, I realized it was a fairy garden with a little note about the 4-year-old girl who felt lonely and quarantined and wanted to spread some cheer. The next day, I wrote a little note to her pretending to be a fairy named Sapphire that had come to live in the tree because she had set it up so nicely. And I left it on the tree that night on my walk and said I would gift her with magical fairy dice. This was at the start of the pandemic. If she did 3 things for me, and this is what her note said to her, to the little girl. Say 5 nice things to people you love. Do 3 helpful things for someone in need. Promise to always be kind and brave and to show love to those in need. Draw a picture of your favorite animal so I can show the other fairies. If these things are done, I will leave the magical dice here Friday morning for you. Be sure to share them if anyone helps you with these tasks. Sharing is caring. Love, Sapphire. I wasn't sure if she'd respond or even find the note, but it was fun just imagining what she'd think. The next night on my walk, I found this and immediately burst into tears. Dear Sapphire, now she's 4, the little girl's 4, so the little girl, her name is Ileana, she signs it, but her mom obviously writes out the note. So it says, Dear Sapphire, thank you for leaving the note in my fairy garden. I did the things you asked. I sent mail to 5 of my friends and family telling them nice things. I delivered birthday things to my friend for his birthday today. I picked up trash and recycling around our neighborhood today. And I set the table and helped mommy and daddy with my baby sister. I'm so excited for the magical lucky dice. I'm so happy you live in this tree. I made a picture of 2 piggies for you because they are my favorite. I hope you like it. I love you. And I promise to be kind, brave, and always show love to those in need. So I'm reading a picture of it. That's why maybe I sound a little funny. So the back and forth dialogue between Sapphire the fairy and the little 4-year-old Ileana continued for 9 months. And she says, doing this every night gave me purpose in a horribly painful and lonely time. I looked forward to my days again, and I started ordering art supplies and little trinkets to leave her. We wrote back and forth throughout these last 9 months, helping each other feel less lonely. It was incredible and one of the most important and impactful afternoons of my life thus far. I hope one day when she is older, she can understand that I truly needed her as much as she needed me these past few months. Okay, so, you know, being on the radio and you can't see what I'm talking about, do yourself a favor, look up this story and read the whole thing, along with the pictures of this amazing little fairy garden, by the way. It's so cute what they did. It will make you feel good and it will inspire you and it will make you have faith that no matter what we're seeing out there, if you look for the good stuff, it exists, it's out there. There's so much more good and hope in the world. And during this holiday week, I really wanted to share some of that with you. You know, I really wanted to focus on that. And maybe, you know, think about something you could do for someone else this holiday season. Really, truthfully, any time of the year. What can you give someone else without the need of any recognition or expectation of getting anything in return. We all know those people who only give to make themselves look good or to let you know what they did for you, you know, expecting something in return. We know them. We see those people. That's not heartfelt giving, and the universe recognizes it. So really ask yourself, what can I do for someone else? Even if it's anonymous, like the anonymous Santa giving the 100. I know we can't all give $100, you know, to a bunch of strangers every year, but we can do small things like the Sapphire, the fairy. I mean, she left trinkets and notes just to a little four-year-old girl. And what it did to the four-year-old is amazing, but what she got back, you know, because whatever she was going through, she doesn't share what she's going through, but whatever she was going through. So, you know, do something for someone else because you feel called to give somebody some joy and happiness. And if any of these stories do inspire you and you do decide to do something for someone and you want to share, please email me your story and I will share it on my show. Or even better, I can have you on as my guest and we can share it together. It doesn't have to be a holiday thing. It can be any time of the year. The new year is a good place to start. So email me at postcardstotheuniverse@gmail.com if you feel so inspired to do something, you know, going into 2021, something that you do just because you want to give. That would be really, really wonderful. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. So stay tuned.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Wow. Welcome back. Okay, so now in this segment of the show, I'm going to share and I'm going to do a reading from my book, Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. So before I do that, I just want to say, I'm really happy that I wasn't weeping during reading the stories because let me tell you, the last 2 days that I've been looking for stories and inspirational and not too long, you know, because I'm here on the radio, the tears from every story would just be flowing down my face because I'm super sensitive, that kind of stuff. I love it. You know, it's like they're tears of joy. But, you know, trying to say it on the air without like the weeping, I'm really proud of myself that I did that. So I just had to give myself some props for that. Okay, so my first question to you guys that are listening is, I want you to think about something that you dream about that isn't in your life yet, but you really want it. And it could be anything. So just have that in your mind, something that you want to manifest, something that you want in your life that is not in your actual environment, in your reality right now. Now, for the new listeners, I'm going to read a bio on my book to give you an idea what I'm talking about. Some of you who follow me know this and have heard me talk about it before. But of course, we're going to talk about it again because it's all about manifesting, right? Living the life of our dreams. Have you ever wanted a way to bend the ear of the universe? That is the loving energy behind all creation. Yes, that universe, the one that renders absolute and perfect manifestation. Know that the universe hears what is in your heart. It hears exactly what you want for your greatest life. In Postcards to the Universe, artist photographer Melissa Caprio offers a way to combine art, love, and manifestation that will lead you to everything your heart desires. It's a self-help personal development spirituality book with a strong visual component. Postcards to the Universe is a visual jewel, lush with imaginative images and poignant with heartfelt words. This beautiful book is already igniting creative fire in manifestors everywhere. This is a creative visualization with the power of intention times three. In Postcards to the Universe, readers envision an inspired and fulfilled life through photography, art, collages, and written messages. Postcards to the Universe beckons the universe to listen to our deepest desires. It's a collaboration between Caprio and the beautiful souls who contributed to this project. We all wish. We are already good at wishing before we blow out the candles on our first birthday cake. We are wishing when we pull on a wishbone. We are wishing when we throw coins in a fountain. But then the wish is gone, rarely thought of again, if ever. And when we go back to our daily lives, stress, strain, and struggle, we nestle back into our comfort zones, which may not really be all that comfortable. Too often, we don't stop or even ask the question that leads to our heart's desire. But if you had the universe's ear, where you could harness your own power, reach your full potential, and tap into your deepest creativity, what then? Wouldn't you ask? People have found it works because you are literally telling the universe that you're serious this time. You're ready, really ready to begin the process of receiving your deepest desires. Postcards to the Universe is your conduit to success. It's not just a beautiful fine art book, but an ongoing project and movement. Postcards to the Universe empowers people to get clear and creative about living an inspired life. Through art and photography, we get to see people's desires manifest. Caprio photographs each postcard as she receives it. She intuits by each person's specific manifestation how she is going to photograph their postcard. She is inspired by helping people get creative and collaborate with her to push this movement forward. She asks the universe to send her postcards. Each postcard is transformed into its own powerful intention. Already, this project has taken the law of attraction to a whole new level. Now the book promises to take it even higher. It is visual. It is tactile. It brims with heartfelt desire. It is in deep conversation with the universe. The wishes inside are infused with the energy and the spirit of the contributors of this book. The book itself vibrates at a higher level. Wow, right? They really made my book sound good. When I was reading that, I'm like, the first time I read that, I was like, wow. So I want to read from this section of the book. today. The book is broken down into the major life themes that we all want to be fulfilled in: our health, our relationships, our careers, our life purpose, our finances, and our wealth. So that's how I broke down the book. So I'm going to read from the section, and it's, "Are career and life purpose the same, and can they be in harmony?" Not everyone's career is meant to be their life purpose, and that is fine. However, your career and life's purpose can and should be in harmony. What does that mean? An easy example is being a parent yet working as an architect, for example. Being an architect is something that you love. It makes you an incredible living, yet your life's purpose is raising your children. Possibly you are in education, and it is very fulfilling, but your life's purpose is volunteering at the animal shelter. As long as you reconcile those two things and make it work in your own life, then you are in harmony. If working as the architect or teacher, for example, is getting in the way of you doing what you really want to do, leaving you drained with not enough time to spend any energy where you really want, then you are not living in harmony. What is so great is that all of us are individuals and we each have a very unique life purpose. So how do we discover what our life purpose is? Do you know what yours is? It took me a while to discover what mine is. Many people have no idea what their life purpose is and wouldn't even consider themselves living their life purpose in their career. They think of themselves as having a job, something they must do just to pay the bills. Unfortunately, many walk through their lives miserable in what they do for work. No one wants to go through life being unhappy all the time, waking up with a sense of dread every day because of where they spend most of their time. How do you discover what your life's purpose is? I'm going to separate career and life purpose for the moment. If your job is important because it pays the bill and you cannot leave it, that's fine. You can still go on a journey to find your life's purpose, and possibly in the future, it may transform into your career. Many have started out doing something that they love that they would have said was their hobby, which grew and grew and turned into a very lucrative career. Others prefer to keep them separate. I have a fine art photographer friend who refuses to do commercial photography. She has told me that her love of creating her art is what feeds her soul, and she doesn't want that to change by making her living doing commercial work. She doesn't want to burn out taking photographs of things she doesn't care about just to pay her bills. Her career is being an accountant. That is what she enjoys doing, and it pays her well. Her photography is where she feels connected and inspired, and according to her, fulfills her purpose. A good way to know if you are living your purpose is how it feels. When you are doing something and it is feeding your soul or your spirit, then you have hit on your purpose. The problem is a lot of people have no idea what that would be. They are so overwhelmed with the stresses of everyday life, finding the time to go digging around for their life's purpose, they just don't have. You must make the time somewhere in your life to explore and see what you hit on. I don't buy the story that there isn't enough time. That is just another tale that people tell themselves, so it becomes true for them. I lost my place again. Okay, oh, here it is. When people really want something, they find a way to do it. When they are afraid or really don't want something, a million and one reasons will come along to confirm that belief. It's the law of attraction in action. I have created a list of questions that will help you narrow down and get clear on what it is you may secretly want to do. It may be so hidden inside you that you hadn't thought about it for years. These questions will help be your guide to finding out. So I have 10 questions here. What does your 8-year-old self dream about? What if you could never be embarrassed? What would you do? What are things you do sometimes that make you forget to eat or sleep? If God came to you and said, "I'm giving you the power to change the world," what would it be? If you found out today you had exactly 1 year from this date to live, how would you live that year? If you could get paid doing what you love, what would that be? What does it look like? Imagine you're 100 years old and you're telling your great-grandchildren about your life. How would you like them to know you? You get to come back to speak at your eulogy. What would you say about yourself and how you lived? Imagine an alternative universe where you would never be judged for doing what you loved with your life. What would that be? If you had been given the gift of 10 lives, how would you live each one? I use these questions to help guide people before they sit down to make a postcard. When you see what your answers are, you may be surprised. Thinking about what you dreamed about as an 8-year-old, something that you hadn't thought about in years, might light a spark inside to go even deeper to discover more. You start to connect to your heart and what makes it sing. Anything you do that makes your soul soar or fills your life with joy is the answer. For example, let's say that your career is a biologist, and although you enjoy your job, you don't feel that soul connection while you're doing it. You want to do something that touches your heart. You remember that you used to love to dance. Every time you would dance, you would tap into that creative energy, and you loved it. You haven't done it in years. After going over the questions and seeing your answers, you discover that you had forgotten how much joy you felt when you were dancing. You decide at that moment you're going to start dancing again. You set your intention on making the time to do that. The universe heard you and will present you the opportunities to bring that back into your life. You happen to receive an alert for a new meetup in your area to join this tango group. You used to love to dance the tango and you think, wow, how interesting. I think I may go and check it out. Before you know it, you have reconnected with something that sparked your passion. You meet new amazing like-minded souls who share your passion for dance. Each week you find yourself dancing and you see how good you are. You are so good that you are offered an opportunity to do some traveling with this new dance troupe. You start going to exotic locales to perform and you are getting to travel to locations you wouldn't normally go to. You are getting exposed to new people, new cultures, and new adventures. All of this just because you said yes to your inner voice that was waiting for you to discover your life's purpose or passion. It goes even further. Now you've been offered to take over the dance troupe and they want to pay you, so you have the opportunity to leave your job as a biologist if you want. Making the decision to leave the job or not isn't what's important or the point. The point is you have opened yourself up. You have touched a place inside that feeds you. Your energy is expanding and it's touching everyone you come in contact with. You are fulfilling your life's purpose. Many people believe career and purpose have to be the same thing, and they would also believe their career and life purpose have to be things that change the world. That is incorrect. Most of us will not change the world like Martin Luther King or Madame Marie Curie. We are not necessarily supposed to. That is not to be our life's main purpose, however it was theirs. Changing the world isn't our responsibility. What is our responsibility is changing our world. There is always a butterfly effect. When we shift something, sometimes the effects is supposed to transform and travel the world. But more often, though, it ripples on a smaller scale to our friends, family, and community. People often get inspired and influenced by being in the energy of someone who's living in joy and passion. And that is contagious. Not a bad thing to catch, in my opinion. I recently heard a story of a 97-year-old woman in a small town in England who is her town's dog walker. She goes to the shelter and takes out the dogs daily to enjoy the fresh air and get some exercise. She also goes to homes of her friends who are no longer able to walk their dogs because of old age or illness. Listening to her speak, you could tell she was living her life's purpose. She makes no money from doing this. She does it every day, no matter what the weather. She is as sharp as a tack and said she feels the same way she did when she was 50. I thought, this woman is living her joy. She's incredible. And age has nothing to do with what is in her mind. She has greatly touched the people of her little town. They look forward to her coming and they are influenced by her spirit. She brings joy not only to the people, but to all the dogs that look forward to their daily walks with her. She is loved in her community and is making a difference. So that I just wanted to share that with you. And I want to leave you with a story because I only have a few minutes. There's more in that chapter that I was going to read, but I want to leave you with this story. It's from one of the contributors in my book, talking about life purpose. I grew up in a house of lawyers. Both my grandfather and father were attorneys, so it was expected and assumed I would follow suit, which I did very unhappily. And I kept that unhappiness hidden deep inside. Part of the reason was because I didn't want to upset my family, especially my father. It was drilled into me since I was a very small boy. The other part of the reason was because when I had started college, I still had no idea what else I would want to do, so I went along in the family. I became a defense attorney, a very successful defense attorney. I was making a very good living at it, yet inside I hated every part of it. I couldn't stomach some of the clients who I knew were guilty of the crimes they were accused of, every person innocent or guilty is entitled to a fair trial, and my job was to defend them. Liking them was not part of the job description. I lived in a very nice flat and had a shiny sports car and went to fine restaurants and owned expensive suits. Inside, I was slowly dying. I would fantasize about living another life. I have friends at an art exhibition in these studios that artists live and work, and I had been introduced to Melissa. She was sharing her project, Postcards to the Universe. She asked if I would grab a postcard and write down something I want to manifest in my life. I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but she had one picture in particular that I liked sitting on her table. It was an old rotary phone. Oh, I'm running out of time. Well, you know what? I'll finish up the story next week. I can't believe I'm running out of time. Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave. I'll see you next time. Have a very Merry Christmas, and my wish for you is that you are filled with joy and love this holiday. I'll see you next week. Peace.